Welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 2, brought to you by The Fantasy Fix. I am your host, Christopher Merez, and I am stoked to have you guys back here for a second episode. Yes, episode 1 was a great success. Thank you to everybody who listened to it. Thank you for everybody who told me how much you loved it. Thank you for those people who also told me the things you want to hear about on the podcast, things you want to talk about. That's great. I love it. Your feedback, I always want to hear it. I always do, no matter what it is. If you just want to be like, yo, Chris, hi, just, I'm okay with that. Send it to me. If you want to interact with me in the podcast, a whole bunch of places you can do that. First, on Twitter, you should follow the podcast on Twitter. It has its own Twitter handle, right? So at Slapshot Podcast, you can follow that. If you want to follow me as well, you can do that at FuzzyChris91. You should also follow The Fantasy Fix at The Fantasy Fix. You can find the podcast there as well. Subscribe to it on iTunes if you're an iPhone user, iPad user, and you want to listen to the podcast from there. You can do that. Subscribe to it. Go to iTunes, type in Slapshot Podcast, press the subscribe button, give it a rating as well. If you really, really like this, put a 5-star. If you really, really hate it as well, put a 1-star. It's fine. Tell me how much you hate it. Tell me you don't want to hear me talk. That's fine. I'm okay with it. I'll take it. But yes, and on Podbean, you can do that if you listen to that, right? Android users, you can get all the podcasts there straight to your phone as well. No reason to be like, I couldn't find the podcast this week. No, you can find it everywhere. I've literally put it everywhere so as many people can hear me talk. All right, let's get to the matter of today. Today, I'm going to give you strategies, or at least the ones I use, to build an NHL DFS lineup over at DraftKings. That's right. It's something that I don't think many people talk about. Everybody, you know, gives out players and stuff and analysis and projections on who you should use, what you should use. But there's not a lot of conversation about building a successful lineup. Then again, what is successful? Who knows? But I've come down with a somewhat strategy, or a way at least that I like to construct my lineup, right? Think of it as building a house, right? You start with the foundation, then you work your way up. Nobody's building the roof first and then moving downwards. That's not how you build a house. So I'm going to go over some strategies, ways that I like to do it. So, you know, I could be completely wrong. And let's face it, there are some times that I'm completely wrong. I can't even believe the things that come out of my mouth. But so far I've done pretty well to start the season. It's been difficult, especially when you go with the LA Kings and the Pittsburgh Penguins and they don't score goals. You're like, well, you know, I need to relook at my life. What is happening in the world? But the strategy that I use, I haven't changed it very much. Been playing over at DraftKings now since they finally legalized it up here in Quebec. Thank you for that. So I've come up with that strategy. It looks pretty well. I enjoy playing on DraftKings specifically. I was waiting forever. FanDuel is not a bad place to play on. I despise the plus minus stat. I think it's the worst stat in the world. There's no point to it. There's no purpose to it. It brings nothing to the world. It is a stat that is used for players that need to make money in their contract years. When they go to arbitration, their agents sit there and say, hey, my client was plus 35 at the end of the year. If I was the arbitrator, I'd be like, great, you played on a great team that scored a lot more goals than they gave up 5-on-5. Wonderful. So I hate the plus minus stat. That's basically why. DraftKings, though, I don't like that they don't give out points for penalty minutes, though. But I'll live with that. I can live with that. If I'm trading the plus minus for penalty minutes, I'll live with that. I'm okay with it. So we're going to look at a way. If you're not familiar with DraftKings, you should go over there, sign up. If you need help signing up, let me know. We'll get you all set up, all ready to go, you know. Make some money, I don't know, you know, maybe 10, 15 bucks. I, you know, put some gas in your car. Gas is expensive, right? It may not be down there. Up here in Canada, gas is expensive. Cost me a fortune. Sometimes I win some money on DraftKings, and then I go to the pump it, and be like, hey, there, DraftKings. Thanks for the money. So let's go through the lineup, basically, or the format for DraftKings. You have 2 center positions, 3 wingers, 2 defensemen, a goalie, and a utility spot. I love the utility spot, by the way. That, I think, like, that should be mandatory no matter what sport you're playing, a utility spot. Just one guy that you're like, hey, I can't fit you in at this position, but I really want to use you, so I'm going to put you in the whatever position category, which is what I like about the utility spot. I usually start, when I build my DraftKings lineup, I start at the goaltending position. It's just, I feel like life starts better at that position. A few reasons. A, your goalie is the most important player on your team. It's just logic. They're the most important players on their real life team, so they should be the most important player on your fantasy team. It just makes sense. I start with a goalie, and I don't go cheap at goaltending. I like to spend up for elite goalies. Now, depending on who you talk to, they might be like, Chris, that's crazy. You don't have to. You can find value in many, many backup goalies or lower tier goalies with great matchups. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. If you're one of those people who, you know, went by that strategy, you probably started Kari Ramo on night one and then regretted it immediately, whereas I started Carey Price and, you know, that went very well for me. That will not always be the case. I'm aware of that. Before you get up and start yelling, I know. There are nights where elite goalies will just get destroyed. It's going to happen. But generally, elite goalies will not get destroyed. Generally, they are exactly what their price is. They cost a lot, but they're going to give you a lot. And the one thing with goalies, though, is they can win you games single-handedly by themselves. The 3 points for a win, though, is something that is important. It's not like baseball where the pitcher win means absolutely nothing. No, most people don't chase it. It's not important. I agree. I mean, getting a win from a pitcher in baseball is kind of like a crapshoot. You're just like, man, maybe. You know, I might get it. He might get destroyed, give him 9 runs, but his team scored 12, so he gets the win. Nobody cares. But in NHL DFS, the win could be the difference between cashing and not. So when I pick my goalie, I look for an elite goalie who's got the best possible chance of winning. So these are goalies who are taking on terrible teams, usually teams that don't generate a lot of offense and have a hard time scoring goals. So your Buffalo Sabres, your Arizona Coyotes, you know, all those kind of teams that are not good, Toronto Maple Leafs, right? If you target goalies from teams that have a tough time scoring, you're gonna do well. It's just how the world works. I like it like that. So I start with a goalie. I pay up for it. And I also like to look at Vegas lines. Vegas is not wrong very often. If they were wrong, they wouldn't exist. So I go over, right? You can check wherever you want. Now look at the Vegas line and see which goalie or which team has the best chance of winning that night. And then I start from there. So, for example, when was it? I think it was Friday. I played Friday. I think I did. Yes, I did play Friday because that's the night Justin Advocator just went off and scored 3 goals against the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? The Toronto Maple Leafs lost. I started Jimmy Howard. Now, Jimmy Howard is usually not a great goalie, right? I owned him last year and season long, and that was complicated. But you're playing he was playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? The Detroit Red Wings are at home. The Toronto Maple Leafs are coming into town. They had previously lost to the Canadiens. They're a terrible road team to start with. They don't do well on the road. They don't do well scoring goals on the road. So I pick I'm not going to call Jimmy Howard an elite goalie, but he was one of the higher priced options of the night at home against a terrible Toronto team that can't score. Beautiful. Makes sense. The stars aligned up that night. They won 4-0. All is well in the world, right? That worked out. There are times where it's not going to work out. There are times where all those stats are going to go together, and then boom, all of a sudden, Nazem Kadri scores 4 goals. Right? No. That's where I start with goaltending, pay up. They have a floor, right? It's rare that goalies are going to score minus points. Right, no matter what they get you, they're gonna get you maybe 3 or 4 points. You're hoping they get you much more. You're like from the six plus category, right? 3 plus however many saves. Pay for goaltending, Don't go cheap on it. Don't go looking for, I don't know, guys who you say, well, this matchup here is close, but this goalie has a chance. Or, you know, don't target teams that take a lot of shots at net, you know, shots on goal. You're like, well, you know, this goalie, however, he's only going to make 12 saves. He's only got 12 shots. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right? I did it last year. I forget where. I was like, hey, they're, you know, Semyon Varlamov is playing this team. And then, you know, he's going to get a lot of shots. He's going to stop a lot of them. Yeah, it didn't work out. He got bombarded, and it sunk. And that was the last time. That was the last time I targeted teams that shoot the puck a lot and saying, well, you know, I'm just going to hope he stops them all and maybe, you know, gives up one or two goals and his team can score. No. Goaltending, take an elite one. Pay up for him. It's okay. Check the Vegas line. See which team has the better odds of winning. And then just fit him into your roster. That's it. And then build around him as NHL teams usually do with their goaltending. They got an elite goalie, they build around that team so everything works with it. Go with that. After I've selected my goalie, I start picking forwards. The thing I like about the utility spot is I use it as a center spot. Because this allows you to have three wingers and three centermen, which is perfect if you want a mini stack, one winger and a center. Very, very rare, especially in cash games, will I go with an entire line, right? I won't go with, let's say, a top line. First line, take all three players. Rare. I won't do it. Other people do it, though. If you want to build a GPP lineup and you just want to, you know, go big or go home, a lot of guys stack one line from one team, another line from another team. They go with that. It works well. I'm not against it. But it usually to stay safe in cash games, I like to get some exposure on, you know, some lines. I'll stack, you know, a center and a winger on the top line. And then that's not saying I'll stack another center and a winger from the second line. I'll do that. That's okay. You can stack four guys from one team. If they got a great matchup and there's a, you know, a high goal total, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against, you know, stacking an entire team. Go for it. I usually like to go center, winger. Very rare, unless the centerman is not that great or I'm not stoked about him, I'll go maybe winger, winger. If, let's say for some example, I don't know, so when was it? I think it was Saturday. The entire New York Islanders top line, they were all listed at the center position. Beautiful. That's the type of headache I want when I'm trying to build a lineup. It's not already complicated enough. I want players who have wrong positions to be, you know, on DraftKings and then trying to fit them in my lineup. So in that case, I went with, if I remember correctly, I went with John Tavares and I went with Strome, right? Both of them are centermen, so I used both center spots. And then in that case, I had to stack two wingers. So I went with, I think it was Marian Hossa and Tivolainen? I can't say his name. Anyways, the kid who plays next to him, that guy. I promise I won't. I'm not going to butcher players' names. Like, I already feel bad for them. I went with two wingers. It happens. It's all about fitting guys together. But I like to go with stacks of players. So center and winger, usually a good way to go. I also look for them to play on the power play together. They basically have to play on the power play together. It's so, not hard, but it's complicated. So, for example, and this is the problem in Pittsburgh, is if you're stacking players from the second line, right? So you're Gino, and usually you'll pair him with Hornqvist. Gino and Hornqvist, last time I checked, I don't know if they play on the same power play unit now. They might. I'll have to get back to it. But sometimes what's going to happen is they're not going to play together. So you got these two guys who play together 5-on-5, but they don't play together on a power play. That's not good, right? That's not what I want. I want these guys to play together. Tampa Bay, great example. So Steven Stamkos has his two wingers, Drouin, whoever else. The triplets play together on the second line. The triplets play on the first power play unit with Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. Well, see the problem here. So if I stack Steven Stamkos and, let's say, Jonathan Drouin from the top line, they don't play together on the power play. So that's a little bit of a disadvantage. I don't like to go there. I'll do it if I have to. If I'm like, hey, I still want these two guys to play together 5-on-5. I like them. They have a good matchup. It could end well. I'll do it. But generally, I look for guys who play together on the power play. And as a bonus, if they play together on the penalty kill, that also I go with. Guys who play together at all times, 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill, gold. I love those guys. I love it. I'll go with them all day, every day. Right? Big example. So in Montreal, right now, Max Pacioretty plays with Thomas Plekanec. 5-on-5, they play the power play together. They also penalty kill together. Beauty. I love it. Those. So right there, I will go with that. I haven't yet. The value I like there is on the second line. Again, great value, always stacking two guys together, a centerman and a winger. You could also go with two wingers if you really wanted to get creative, right? For example, Montreal line, Alexander Semin. Alexander Semin is off to, you know, pretty good start. I've paired him with Galchenyuk in a few lineups. I like that. I've also paired him with Lars Eller, and that as well works out pretty good for me. It all depends on how you see fit, and it depends on your type of strategy. I go with that. I'll go with three sets of center winger stacks. And then from there, I'll see if I can maybe, you know, find guys who play on the power play. And then after that, if they play on the penalty kill, even better. And then that usually will stack up for me pretty well. I'll have my six forwards lined up, probably exposure to about three games, right? If I can. If not, then I'll target two and say, okay, let's see if I can fit these guys in, right? Line one, line two, and then another game, either line one or line two, depending on, you know, their prices, of course. Price does matter in this case. Usually, sometimes you can get away with stacking a pretty okay centerman with a really high-end winger. So, out in Dallas, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, they play the wing, right? You can stack them both as wingers. That would be great, wouldn't it? You could, right, a winger and a winger. That would be wonderful. However, Cody Eakin plays in the center, and Cody Eakin is not as high priced as one of those two. So if you want to offset the price sometimes, take a centerman who's in a good position, who's playing with players above his capabilities, who's clearly superior to him. And sometimes that works out well. Sometimes Cody Eakin scores two goals, and you're like, ah, I didn't start him, right? But the idea, right, looking for those gaps, looking for rookies. I love, especially early in the season, I love playing rookies because, A, they're undervalued. Most people don't know how they're going to do. Most people are unaware if they're going to, you know, be very good at what they're doing. But if they're getting the opportunity, right, Dylan Larkin, right, he's a centerman as well. It doesn't matter. You can stack both centermans. It's okay. But he played together with Henrik Zetterberg. If you can't afford to pay up for Justin Abdelkader, which you still can, even though he's scored like four goals over the weekend, you can still stack those two and you'll get some salary relief. And then you can spend up for that other big pair of wingers you want to go with on whatever night. That's okay as well. That's something I sometimes try and do depending on, you know, how many great wingers are available. What are the game slates? Are there only, you know, 8 teams in action? Are there 5 teams in action? Are there 10 games on slate? Who knows, right? Of course, volume is important. The more wingers you have, the more pairings you can do, the more options you get. It's not easy on 5 game, you know, slates to start trying to find guys who fit into everything, you know, finding a guy who's played together 5-on-5 and on the power play and are reasonably priced to fit into my lineup. It's almost, you know, it's quite hard to do that. But if you can, go with it. Target some matchups and then get these guys in and roll with them. After that, I look at the defensemen. Defense in general, defensemen, I don't spend too much money on them. Because DraftKings will award you points for blocked shots, which is something FanDuel doesn't do. So you can get a pretty good defenseman who's going to block a ton of shots. And he'll score you some points. So I'll generally, I'll punt the defense position. All of it. Both defensemen. It's not always easy. It's not always great. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But on nights that it does, I usually do well. For example, I played Mark Methot on Saturday. It was really simple. I think he was like 2,700 on DraftKings. Really, really easy right there. $2,700, a ton of salary relief. I think he gave me like, I think he had like two shots, maybe two blocks or something. I think he paid like 1.5, 2 points, somewhere in there, which, you know what, for a guy who cost me $2,700, fine. I'm not expecting you to give me 5-6 points. I'm expecting you to give me whatever you can. But that also allowed me to pay up for other guys and go get those forwards. Generally, in my mind, the way I see it, forwards are there to score goals, defensemen are there to keep them out of their net, right? That's the strategy. Of course, there are some defensemen who just are basically forwards. So your Erik Karlssons of the world, your PK Subbans of the world. These guys are, you know, they're going to score goals. They're going to get a ton of points. They're going to rack up assists. I'm not telling you not to use them if possible. If you find, let's say, I don't know, a winger, a rookie who's playing the wing, who you say, hey, I like the matchup he's got tonight. I like the fact that he's seeing, you know, first line minutes. I'm going to plug him in. In that case, flop the philosophy. So instead of punting, right, a defenseman, punt the forward position, whichever one you are, one of the wing positions, and then pay up for one of those stud defensemen, right, that are usually quite hard to get in your lineups. You know, Dustin Byfuglien, throw him in there as well. Those are things that work out pretty well sometimes. I usually don't do it unless I can fit them in. Right? If push comes to shove and I say, hey, I'm not going to downgrade my forwards so I can fit this defenseman in. They play a lot of minutes. You know, I don't see the benefit in it. I don't see the benefit. I know there are lots of them. I know some people are going to argue and say, well, you know, defensemen get as many points as forwards. That's true. But on a nightly basis, usually, forwards are going to get it. Forwards are going to play together. They're going to score goals. You're going to get a lot of points from, you know, top lines, complete goals to assists. Those are things that I go with. I like stacking the forwards, defensemen. I'll look and fit them in. I'll fit a defenseman in, let's say. So if I find two wingers, they play on the power play, I'll usually try and fit in the defenseman that also plays on the power play with them. So I want to get the triangle right there. So, good example. I'll go back to that Detroit game against Toronto. So you got Henrik Zetterberg. I went with Justin Abdelkader. I got lucky there. And then I paired him with Nicklas Granlund. Beautiful. Now, originally in my lineup I went with, I had Mike Green in there. Mike Green was a little overpriced for my liking. I didn't like it, but I was like, oh, you know. Yeah, Toronto's not that good. In the end, I was like, well, you know, I'm not. I didn't pay up for that. I didn't pay up for it. I said no. I went back, moved from Mike Green, Nicklas Granlund. That allowed me to fit in John Tavares. In which case, everything worked out. I forget how many points Granlund scored me that night. I forget. But he did all right. He did all right. He got me whatever points he needed to. It paid off for me. A, I cashed in that contest. B, right, John Tavares scored a goal. Anytime that happens, it's good with me. If I move off a defenseman for a forward and that forward scores a goal, it's great. It worked out. Even if Mike Green would have scored a goal, it would have been like, eh, doesn't matter. The forward scored the goal. That's what counts. That's what I like to do. Stack the forwards, put some defensemen in that are going to, you know, just get time on the ice. Mark Methot, right, here was my thing. I used him on opening night. And I used him again the next game they played, which was it Saturday? I think it was Saturday they played again. I think it was Saturday Ottawa played. No, I don't know. Wait, did Ottawa play opening night? I don't know. Anyways, whenever Ottawa's first and second game of the year, I used Mark Methot on both nights. Why? Cheap option. He's going to block some shots. And he plays on the top unit with Erik Karlsson. So if Karlsson is going to eat 26, 27 minutes, right? And assuming, you know, I don't know, 6 of those minutes come from power play, Mark Methot's going to get a healthy 22 minutes. You never know when one of these, you know, defensemen are just going to get a point. You never know. It can happen anytime. It's one of those reasons why I punt the defensive position. You never know where the defenseman is going to ring it around the boards. All of a sudden, a forward comes out, grabs a puck, boom, puts it in the net. You get an assist. Happens all the time. Antti Niemi picked up two assists in the first game. right, for Dallas. Two. I mean, if goalies can do it, defensemen can do it well. So usually by that point now, if you're keeping track, I've paid up for an elite goalie. I've spent heavy money up front. And I've basically punted the two defensemen on the team. Right there, usually I look at it. I'm not somebody who's going to build too many lineups unless I have to get exposure to like 5-6 games because there's too many good options. I'll build one lineup. One, I'll usually throw in maybe a GPP lineup depending if I have time, if I see fit for it, right? Or if I can get the perfect stack in that I want, right? So I can get three forwards, a defenseman, they all play on the power play together, same thing from another game, and then throw in a pretty good goalie. If I can get that entire mix into a GPP lineup, I'll throw it in somewhere, $2-3, you know, see what happens. That's the strategy I go with. You can use your own, though. I'm not saying mine is right. I'm not sitting here rolling in $100 bills driving a Bugatti. So clearly it's not bulletproof, right? I'm not making a ton of money. There are other strategies. I know some people, you know, I believe in home and road splits. I believe they make a difference. I believe there are teams that are better at home and they're worse on the road. You talk to other people, they're like, doesn't matter. Doesn't make a difference. I don't look into that. I do. It makes a difference, right? The Toronto Maple Leafs can't score goals on the road. Done. They can score goals at home. So sometimes you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, you say, hey, they got a decent matchup. They score goals at home. At least they did last season. Hey, I'll roll out. You know, maybe a JVR and a Nazem Kadri. I'll go out with it. I'll take the risk. Right? Calculated risk. That's all DFS in general is. Calculated risk. You're trying to find value in every player that you pick. And it's not always, look, it's not easy, right? There are nights where I look at my lineup and I'm like, this, I loved it. And then 7:02 showed up and I was like, oh God, did I make the right choice? And then by like 12:30 at night, I'm like, wow, I was off on everything. Nothing was right. And there are going to be nights like that as well. You can't deviate from your strategy that you use. There are going to be nights where it's just not going to work. You chalk it up as a loss. You come back the next morning and you plan another lineup. That's it. That's the strategy I go for. You're going to suffer cold streaks. It's just human. It's just how the world works. There's going to be a period this season where you're going to probably lose 5-6, you know, 7 days in a row in your contests, and your bankroll is going to be plummeting, and you're going to start to panic and saying, how am I going to put gas in my car now? I'm not going to be able to get to work in the morning. No, it doesn't matter. Just stick with the process. Stick with building. Stick with targeting these games. Even games that don't have great matchups, even 50-50 matchups, look, nobody thought the Florida Panthers would score 7 goals against the, you know, Flyers. They scored 7 goals. Are you kidding me? They didn't have a great matchup, right? I mean, Steve Mason's not terrible. The Philadelphia Flyers are not terrible. The Florida Panthers are certainly no juggernaut offense, but it worked out. It worked out. So even if matchups aren't great, take some players from these matchups. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. That's how I go with certain things. I look at some players and I'm like, hey, I'm going to throw in one. That's what I usually do. If I, let's say I can't stack or I can't find or I have an open hole or I only want to play one player, there are times where that happens where I say, hey, I only want the center. I only want to play Tyler Seguin. You know, he's done very well in his career against, I don't know, X team. I'm only playing him. That's it. For some reason, he's got this team figured out. He always has a great night. I'm only playing him. Fine. Then I'll go to another game and look for another forward and say, hey, this forward here, he's on a hot streak. I don't know. He's done really well in the month of October. Go with him. I just roll him out there and that's it. There are cases where that's going to happen this year. And it's not wrong as well. There's no perfect one-fit strategy. There's no amount of breaking down numbers that you can do that at the end will give you something that is bulletproof. There is variation in all of DFS. And I think that's where people at one point, they get either discouraged or they get frustrated with themselves and they try to reinvent the wheel, right? Because they're like, well, it's not working. No. Don't, like, keep going with it. Keep going with it. And, you know, it's especially now, you can't take any advanced stats. You can't take any team stats seriously until the beginning of December, at least the beginning of December, maybe even till Christmas. Everything before that is subject to it being flawed, right? If you look at a good Corsi 4 team right now, there's four games that have been played maybe for each team. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. It's too early. The sample size is too small, right? The Pittsburgh Penguins have scored one goal in two games. Are they a terrible offense? No, right? They shoot the puck a lot. It's just not going in. That's, you know, are the Florida Panthers a, you know, great scoring team? Of course not. So don't worry too much about it. At the beginning of the year, I don't play very much money anyways. I'm not throwing in a ton of money. I'm not big balling it because there's not enough data. There's not enough stats for me to use in my breakdowns and say, hey, you know, this guy or this team is going to do well against this team. There's some statistical data that backs it up that says this could be a very good target. I'm going with this. There's none of that at the beginning of the year. And if you want to use last year's material, you can do that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be accurate, right? Because teams go out and they get new players and they, you know, get other players leave and go to other teams. So all that philosophy, all that change, you know, the numbers are not the same anymore. The numbers are just not the same. The Boston Bruins are not a great defensive team this year. They're not. And they're probably going to struggle a lot. So, you know, here's a team that I think they finished. They were about league average last year, about, or maybe a little bit above league average defensively. So far this year, that's not the case. They have not been that great. So maybe the Boston Bruins are the new team everybody picks on. Maybe the Boston Bruins are the team that you say, hey, we stack against them. The Bruins are coming into town. They're not great defensively. They haven't scored that many goals. Yeah, let's take on the Bruins, right? They're the team to stack against. Who knows? This could be true by the time that we get to November. This could then all of a sudden, I don't know, the Bruins can go on a 13-game winning streak in the month of December. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right now, none of that matters, right? You look at some trends. Pick on some players who are hot as well. If there are guys who are scoring goals and are putting are off to a strong start, there are players who naturally get off to slow starts. There are teams that get off to slow starts, LA Kings specifically. So maybe you want to avoid the LA Kings for the first month, regardless of their matchup, regardless of how great it is. I know the problem with this. I was looking at them and saying, hey, San Jose, this should be a great matchup. I'm going to stack the Kings against San Jose. It should end well. Of course it didn't. It bombed. It did not go as planned. It was terrible. So I know the LA Kings start off slow. I know that. But even then, I was like, hey, maybe it'll change this year. Maybe they'll come out hungry. They won't want to wait till the last minute to make the playoffs. No. Two games into the year, it doesn't look like they're on that pace. Looks like they're going to start off slow and then just, you know, try to glide in at the end. Didn't work last year. Maybe it won't work this year. But there are teams that do this. And if you dig deep enough in your research, and you should always do research, don't just rely on, you know, what people tell you. Dig into whatever you think is important. Like I said earlier, home road splits, to me, it's important. There are some people who discredit it completely. They're like, it makes no difference. Makes no difference, Chris. You're crazy for thinking. I was like, no. It makes sense. Some teams, juggernauts at home. The minute they get off home ice, they go on the road, they can't win a game. There are cases of this. So dig into those type of numbers. If you see it's important, if you want to research players who score goals on a Tuesday, by all means, do it. Okay? If for some reason, I don't know, your ex-player scores more goals on Saturday than he does on Tuesday and Thursday, hey, do it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. That's your research. That's what you feel needs some weight. And that number is not necessarily wrong. There may be a time where that, you know, makes sense. And then there may be another time where all of a sudden you're picking players based on how well they play on Saturdays, and then Saturday shows up and they're no good. That's going to happen as well. but you always have to do your research. Always make sure that you're confident in the lineup that you send out there, that you submit and you say, yes, I am going with this. Don't overthink it. Those people, I get caught up in this. We all do, okay? We have our lineup set at like 10 a.m. It's all good all day. We're really, really happy. Boom, 6:30 shows up. The world falls apart. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing these things about players maybe not playing on the same lines, and now we start trying to change our lineup, and then we scrap everything, and then all of a sudden, you start second-guessing it, and then you're looking at those players. You moved out of the lineup. One of them scores a goal, and now you're like, damn it. Now I hate myself, and now I've taken a worse lineup. It's happened to me, too. I'm like, man, warm-ups, this guy, maybe not playing with this one. I'm not sure. Okay, pull him out. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Set your lineup, and then lock it, and then don't go back and change it. Don't second-guess yourself. If you're second-guessing yourself, it's not good. Don't second-guess. Lock it in and say, this is what I'm going with. Unless something drastic happens, okay? Some starting goalie gets ill and he's on your team and he's not starting. Then that, yes, please change it. There's a player who's a game time decision and you find out he's not playing. Yes, change it, of course. But don't go digging in and start second guessing yourself. Don't worry about other players moving lines as well, right? So if you got one team stacked against another team and the other team starts shuffling their lines and you're saying, well, I don't know how, maybe I need players from line two instead of line one, or maybe I'll go deeper into line three because there's some value there. Don't go crazy like that. Don't overthink it. Some people, they overthink it. That's where it gets stressful. Just lock it in. Trust your instincts. Trust your research. Trust your gut. Your gut will tell you if you're right or if you're wrong. There's no research to gut, right? There's nothing that I can tell you and say, hey, use this player, he's gonna score a goal. If you're telling me, oh, I'm not sure, man, I just don't feel it. Fine, go with that. Coaches coach based on feeling, gut feelings. Coaches will tell you every time, I had a gut feeling, put this guy in, boom, scores a shootout goal, wins us the game. Gut feeling, even though he's like 1-for-10 in the shootout. Doesn't matter. Use your gut feeling. Trust yourself. Everything will go well. And I've covered everything. Yeah, that's it. That's the podcast for today, folks. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this has been helpful. I hope you go out and you all win a whole bunch of money. Don't forget, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at FuzzyChris91. Make sure to check it out over at The Fantasy Fix. Follow them as well at The Fantasy Fix. This you can also on iTunes, subscribe to it on iTunes, Podbean as well, podbean.com. And I want to send happy Thanksgiving to all you Canadians listening to this. Yes, Monday is Thanksgiving in Canada, so happy Thanksgiving to you. If you're an American or you're from anywhere else, happy Monday or happy whatever day you're listening this to. I hope you have a great day. We will be back again shortly so we can talk more hockey. Till then, enjoy hockey. Trust your research. It will pay off in the end. Have a good day. Thank you.